ASU basketball has been off to a rocky start, but looking to turn things around just in time for a tough road trip. ASU football has been making moves in the transfer portal, and we're discussing it all on today's episode of Locked On Pac-12 Podcast.
You are Locked On Pac-12, your daily podcast on the Pac-12 Conference. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Pac-12 Podcast, where we are free and available on all platforms. Thank you so much for making this your first listen every day. I'm your host, Cindy Robinson, former Pac-12 student athlete, and joining me today is Connor Drios from Locked On Sun Devils. Connor, it's been a minute. How you been?
I'm doing okay. I don't feel like it's the same where the audience can't see my face, but they can at least hear the depression in my voice when we talk about ASU basketball for the majority of this podcast.
I know. I feel so bad. So I've been having technical difficulties with my Wi-Fi, and I want to make sure that we're giving you great quality. So we're going back to audio for right now until I figure it out.
But I thought you were going to feel bad that ASU is doing so poorly in basketball, and then you made it all about yourself. And now I'm so glad to be here. I am glad to be here for sure.
I can't really say that I'm upset about ASU basketball, but, you know, I feel for you and in your heart and, you know, your loyalty to them, because
that's all that matters.
And they're kind of letting you down right now. Let's get into that. The start of their season hasn't been the great. We'll tell you this. The start of their conference play hasn't been the greatest, obviously.
No. The start of their season's been bad. It's good.
Okay. A lot of games being postponed has probably made a difference too in a lot of people's records and just how their schedule is set up. So far they've only played Colorado and Cal, and then Utah. Lost to Colorado.
Oregon. Those four.
Oh, I missed the Oregon. Yeah, that was earlier in the mix of preseason. Actually, Washington State too. I'm tripping.
Oh, you know, Washington State, was that the game where we just like didn't show up literally at all? Yeah. Like worst game in a billion years.
Yeah. Very low score.
I put that game out of my memory on purpose.
It's okay. It happens. Sometimes it's necessary. But on a bright side, the last game that they played on Monday turned out to be a win, a very last minute thrilling win. So let's dive into that game against Utah and what it meant for the team to walk away with that win just in time for this tough road trip.
Yeah, definitely. So ASU's in a flux that a lot of other schools around the country are in as well. Specifically the Pac-12, as we've been talking about, right? Like both USC, UCLA have had games canceled. I know U of A, maybe against some of those California schools, have had games canceled. But now ASU has had games rescheduled on their own because they've had an outbreak in their own locker room. So that they've kind of had to do this jumble of their schedule. But again, like in this COVID season that they even had to deal with last year, this isn't like it's anything new per se, right? And a lot of other people have to go through it. So can't necessarily use that as an excuse, but after being embarrassed, they got blown out by, I think, 24 points to Cal. They do get a nice bounce back win against a struggling Utah team. They're only two games under 500, but they're 1-7 in conference play so far. Not that we can brag with our whopping 2-3 record, but that being said, they did get that last second victory like you were talking about. ASU did have a couple decent leads in this game, so it was a little disappointing they let Utah back in. But right. I will say, and I think I've even talked about this on the podcast already, Arizona State's defense, while I wouldn't put it in an elite category at all, it's definitely very solid and for sure the strength of this basketball team, because they have no idea how to put the ball in the hoop at all. Short of like maybe a couple of their players. So the next best thing they can do is play really solid defense. Utah definitely, I think, forced some shots that I was watching live and kind of like thought that it was just a little bit ugly. So overall, Utah didn't look great as a whole, only shot 35% from the field, definitely didn't shoot well from deep. They only shot 25% as a team. Plus ASU, I don't have the numbers in front of me. I quoted this on the Locked On Sun Devils podcast. I think they had 10 more offensive rebounds, if I remember correctly. Ultimately, ASU just dominated essentially on Utah's side of the court, giving themselves more chances. So not only were they more efficient shooting just under 42% as a team, but for a team like ASU who hasn't been nearly as efficient, giving themselves all those second chances and winning by two obviously was the big factor in this game. I will say they shot 25% from their free throws. If we would have lost that game, I think it would have pulled like all my hair out on Locked On Sun Devils. Like, I understand you have off nights, right? But 25% of your free throws and you only won by two. Like, if you lose that game, it's not like it's ever done on one play, but that's a big factor right there nonetheless. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I am a stickler for free throws. They're literally free. And so when teams miss them, athletes miss them, here's my thing. At a certain level, once you're at a certain level, I look at you as, this is easy, right? This should be repetitive. Yep. That should be something that you could do in your sleep dang near. And I understand that there's the pressure, everybody staring at you, it's just you shooting, but you're a basketball player. That's what you're there to do. You know what I mean? And that is probably the easiest moment, or should be one of the easiest moments in the game. There's no one guarding you. It's literally an open shot for you. It's like practice. I can't stand the missed free throws. That's a tough one for me.
Yeah. So, I mean, overall, ASU has been very average in that category. We do play USC, which we're going to talk about a little bit later on in this podcast, but for some reason they're making like just over 61%, which is last in the Pac-12, which as good as USC is and as good of a scores as they have on that team. I remember reading that and had to do a double take. I'm like, what the heck, you know? One thing I do want to call out about this game is overall ASU has had quite a few new faces coming in, stepping in into their starting positions. Marion Jackson was a transfer student that we got who has just struggled this season. Maybe not expected to be the guy on this team, but be a starter and a contributor nonetheless. Marion Jackson had 29 minutes against Utah, which was off the bench, mind you. But he went 2 for 6 from deep. Now, I'm telling you this, he made 2 3-point shots. Why is that such a big deal? I don't think he's done that in a game literally all season long. And this might even be the first time he's hit double-digit points. So we're really hoping on Locked On Sun Devils and everyone else watching these games that Marion Jackson can turn a corner. It's not like he's going to pole vault this team up into the top standings for the Pac-12, right?
Yeah.
But if you can get more depth behind either Kamani Lawrence or DJ Horn, who are essentially consistently scoring for you, and that's about it, the more players that you have to be able to put up some points, especially if Horner or Kamani Lawrence are having off nights, that's going to go such a long way. It might not get you a victory over a U of A, a USC, or UCLA, but it might keep you a little bit more competitive in some of these other games, which we're definitely looking at on this 3-game road trip coming up.
All right. Well, coming up next, Connor and I are going to discuss this road trip that's coming up and what ASU has to look forward to in these next coming days. BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline is where the game starts. Shout out to you listeners for making Locked On Pac-12 Podcast your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. All right, Connor. So tough stretch at the beginning of the season for ASU. Now they're looking to go into this even tougher road trip. And, you know, this is something you can't avoid. You play in the Pac-12 and the teams are what they are. So first up is Stanford at home. And Stanford, you know, is not a bad team at all. I'll let that be known right now. They are the team that upset USC, gave them their first loss of the season. There's a lot there for ASU to be a little worried about, especially, you know, traveling. But I will say a lot of teams are playing in emptier arenas, and maybe that takes away from the home field advantage part.
Yeah, definitely. So Stanford, I wouldn't say is this really, really great basketball program. Like, I feel like there's definitely tiers to the Pac-12 conference. They're certainly not in that top tier, but certainly an argument to be made that they're in that next tier down below. Stanford doesn't, I don't feel like they do a lot of things bad, but they do a lot of things really well too. So they're just a very solid all-around basketball team, played really solid on offense and on defense. So not that they don't have weaknesses, but unfortunately, ASU is not as well-rounded, I feel like, as Stanford is. Again, it's going to be on the road. Now, we talk about this being an unfortunate road trip. It had to happen at some point or another, right? You and I talked earlier this year where they had a road trip where it was, or they might have played Arizona at Tempe, but regardless, they would have had a three-game stretch against SC, UCLA, and then Arizona, right? So you can't escape these conference games. They are what they are. Stanford would go a long way. And unfortunately, Rich and I have talked on the Locked On Sun Devils podcast about like moral victories. People who talk about moral victories, that's honestly, it's loser basketball right there. It really, really is. After getting blown out by Cal, even getting a win against Utah, yes, they're not very good. Good for you. It was important to get back in that win column. That being said, like, we really just want a competitive game against Stanford. If they don't win, okay, I get it. They are a better basketball team. There's just no denying that. But can they be competitive is what we're looking for.
And I think that's a good point because out of the road trip that's ahead for ASU, the Stanford game would be most ideal for them to actually compete and possibly win. If they could walk away with that win, that would make this road trip not a complete loss, because you're then facing number 16 USC and then number 3 Arizona, and then it's like you can't really escape that. You face USC again. Actually, I just realized that it's a back-to-back, and then go to UCLA. I mean, well, UCLA comes to you, but either way, the next 4 games after the Stanford game gets tough. And I think this is the moment where you have to capitalize, where Stanford's a decent team, but they're not a great team. And they're a team that can be beat for sure. They have recently just taken 3 different losses to Washington State, Washington, and then Arizona. And the Washington State and Washington games were closer in score, but completely got wiped out by Arizona. And so at this point, it's like, you don't know if you're getting a more confident Stanford team looking for revenge, you know, trying to capitalize off that loss against Arizona, or a depleted Stanford team that, you know, ego might be a little hurt, because 85-57 is a tough score.
Just missed. So totally agree. Like, this is the game that they would need out of the next, really, let's call it honestly, like 5, because they get USC twice, Arizona, and then UCLA in the next 5 games. So if they're going to win a game, like, this is going to be it. Plus, if they're going to go into any 4 of those games and potentially pull off a big upset, I think being a little bit more confident after a win against Stanford would seriously go a long way for this team. I truly am a big believer in momentum. And right now, like, I have no idea what what the voice is like in that locker room, right? I think they're happy against that win against Utah, but they know how good and or not good Utah is. So at the same time, like, if they can beat a quality opponent and go game by game, maybe there's a chance. At the end of the day, I'm looking to see if they can just cover their spread, because I don't know what they look like against some of these other upcoming opponents, but I got to imagine ASU is going to be a 10-point-plus underdog in some of these games. So Stanford is going to be a tough one, but we'll see if they can get it done. Once we go to USC, we were previewing that game last night since we weren't going to be able to do it before this upcoming week. USC has 3 top 10 scores in the, or sorry, not top 10, 3 top scores and points per game in the top 20. ASU has 1. If we include the top 30, you give another player to USC, and ASU still only has 1. Now, Kamani Lawrence is number 31, and those two are definitely quality players, but Isaiah Mobley is going to be a force for USC. I really don't think we're going to have any sort of answer for him. If he has some sort of career day against us, it's not going to be that surprising. The dude's just been phenomenal. We were looking at some overall Pac-12 numbers, and he's like number 5 in points per game. I think he's number 1 rebounds, playing a ton of minutes. The dude's just an absolute force. So it's not like we can even take 1 weapon away from USC, right? If ASU's defense is a strength, as I had just talked about a little bit ago, which it is, even if you take away 1 of their scorers, you can't stop all 4 of their players, which I think are they have at least 4 averaging more than 10 points per game. Now, I will say, I think defensively, they're not as good as maybe some of the other Pac-12 teams, but when their offense is as efficient and as dominant as it is, it's covering up, I think, maybe some of the holes on the defensive side of the ball that ASU is just not going to be able to match up well against.
Yeah. Okay, well, ASU plays Stanford on Saturday. Hopefully they're able to get that win and, you know, at least turn some things around. Keep it going, right? Coming off that win against Utah, keep it going.
That is currently the game plan, is hope. It's not X's and O's because that's not going to matter. We just have to use hope.
Yeah, and sometimes that's all you need. Sometimes that is all you need. Okay, coming up next, Connor and I are going to discuss ASU football and the transfer portal, all the things that's been happening so far in the offseason. This is it, the putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours, but on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software? To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. With visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more, NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. 93% of surveyed businesses increased their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Over 28,000 businesses already use NetSuite. So for the new year, NetSuite has a new financing program for those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/locked. Head to netsuite.com/locked for the special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses. netsuite.com/locked. Okay, Connor. So ASU football started off last season amazing, looking like a great contender for the South, and then ended on a more sour note. And now going into the offseason, has a lot of areas to fill, has some players that left for the draft, left for the transfer portal, leaving them in, I won't say in a complete like rebuild, but definitely looking to replace some players. And then on top of that, still waiting to hear about these sanctions coming down. So while we're still, you know, awaiting that unwanted news, as far as the transfer portal goes, what has ASU been doing to, like, what positions have they been working on filling, and what are some exciting players that they've acquired so far?
So exciting players, I'll talk about him a little bit more later on, but Paul Tyson, who is the backup quarterback over at Alabama, right behind Bryce Young, knew he wasn't going to be able to play, ended up coming to ASU. I feel I personally spoke this into existence. I've never talked to Paul Tyson. We haven't interacted on Twitter, but I do think I ended up making him come here because literally the day after the national championship, Alabama had 8 players enter the transfer portal. 8. And I said on the Locked On Sun Devils podcast, I said, if we can get one of those players, I would take that as a win. We knew Herm Edwards was going to hit the transfer portal hard, and that's exactly what he's done, and I still don't think that that's finished by any means. So with that being said, we did get Paul Tyson, who I don't expect to compete for the starting quarterback position. Currently, he's a sophomore, so he'll be going into his junior year, but essentially last year, he only attempted 16 passes, completed 10 of them. I'm assuming all essentially a mop-up duty, right? Alabama just took care of just about everybody they played against. There really wasn't a reason for him to play other than late in the games. This is going to be Jaden Daniels' last season, and could there be some competition? I guess we're going to have to wait until kind of spring ball and then what we start to hear about going into next season. But as of right now, I think Tyson's going to compete for the backup spot with the potential to be the starter in 2023. Now, ASU also had 3 offensive linemen either graduate or declare for the NFL draft. Whether it was center Donovan West, their left tackle, whose name has escaped me for some reason. But and then they also had their right guard all graduate. So they have to find all these different players to now essentially fill these positions. They didn't have necessarily a ton of depth or veteran presence behind them. So they've gotten a transfer, I think all within the last 7 or 8 days now. They've gotten a transfer over from Penn State to come in. And they also got some almost, I don't want to call it exciting news. It's just, it's almost a little bit odd. ASU had a Division II offensive lineman, Emmett Bull, who was from, I think it's Northwest, Northern State, 6'7", 300 pounds. They expect him, from what I'm understanding, to come in and play right tackle. They had Ben Scott playing right tackle and Ladarius Henderson at left guard. They're two returning players. From what I'm understanding, they're very flexible on where these guys are going to play. So, but I guess we haven't had a Division II transfer, regardless of the position, in over 20 years. So a little bit rare air there. And then we also had a lineman transfer over from San Diego State. One of the other bigger pieces that we've gotten as well, we also had a former four-star player along the defensive line transfer over from Miami, who's going to play essentially defensive tackle for us. His name is Nesta Jade Silvera. Now, the defensive line for ASU, while they are losing first-team All-Pac-12 player in Tyler Johnson, I really do think it's going to be solid for them because they have Jermaine Lole coming back, who's expected to be a stud along the defensive line. Mm-hmm. And now you've got Silvera coming into play essentially alongside him. We also saw some really good depth on the defensive tackle position between BJ Green and Omar Norman Lott. So whether some of these guys are just playing rotational spots or they're playing for essentially due to injury reasons, I think they really do have a lot of good depth along their offensive line as of right now. So it's yet to be seen how this is all going to work out, right? Incoming quarterback, we don't necessarily think is going to play. Incoming lineman, they already have had several other players come in. I don't think we've had a chance to talk about Xavier Valade coming from Wyoming. He's an exciting running back that Rich and I have been very excited about, especially losing Rashad White and Chip Traynham. So between Valade, Daniel Nagata, and then incoming freshman Tevin White, it does give Zach Hill, our offensive coordinator, kind of the offensive scheme I think he wants to run with multiple running backs and Jaden Daniels' legs. So last year was the season to do it. If they were going to pull off any sort of victory in the Pac-12 South, it was going to have to be this last year. Obviously, Utah winning the entire thing was just a great season by them. But now with USC getting Oklahoma's quarterback, teams like Oregon that are going to be retooling, like, I don't think this is going to be a down or rebuilding year per se, to use your wording, for ASU, but they are running out of time quickly for Jaden Daniels and some of the other players on this team that if they don't start to win the Pac-12 South soon, I fear that they're going to lose a lot of players due to those sanction violations and a lot of talent. So they're running out of time to start winning some more games here.
That was my last question for you as far as like awaiting those. Do you feel like it's affected the transfer portal and the early signing period and like, you know, just getting recruits?
100% I do. Now, do I think regardless of that, if all things were similar, ASU had the exact same record that they did, players, whether they left for different reasons, maybe not the sanction violations. Do I think that ASU is going to be able to land a ton of big players to the transfer portal? Not necessarily, right? Like, this is Arizona State football. It's exciting here in Tempe. Not necessarily one of the biggest football programs in the nation. So the fact they've gotten a couple solid names, I still think that means that, in my opinion, players still believe in Herm Edwards. So I guess there's that. But until we know what's going to happen to this program, I can't necessarily say for sure. But if you are a big name player coming to play potentially at an ASU, if it's not for the short term, I can't really think of why you would want to come here with everything they're going to be facing, with all the talent that they're going to be losing. They've got a long road ahead to essentially rebuild this program after they're losing a ton of seniors along the defensive side of the ball and some really solid offensive players and a Rashad White on the offensive side as well.
All right. Well, I will say this, despite the, you know, pending sanctions supposed to happen, I am excited to see if ASU can kind of pick up where they left off from the beginning of last season. And
I was going to say the beginning, not the end.
Yeah, the beginning, not the end. Not the end. I feel like they kind of left last season with, like, with things to do still. You know what I mean? Like, there's still unfinished business. And so very skeptical to see this. I will say this. You now have a new quarterback to deal with that they could not really contain last season, and that's Jaden Delora, who transferred to Arizona.
Yep.
So that game against Arizona this season might be a little different than the
it
last
could be.
Season. Yeah.
It definitely could be. It's not that odd, I feel like, to see players transfer within conference. That news definitely caught me off guard, but
me too.
I will say they're going to need a little bit more than Delora, I think, to be able to compete. But hey, if ASU takes a step or two back and U of A takes a step or two forward, is that gap going to be very far between them? No, it won't be. So we'll see. I think it really starts with ASU finding someone to throw the football and players to catch the football. Yeah. I've heard that's really important to do, which they didn't do incredibly well last year. So, but at the end of the day, if Zach Hill wants to continue to run the ball, we may not see a lot of that from ASU regardless, but it will definitely be a little bit more exciting. And I hope ASU is not playing for just a rivalry game at the end of the season, but there's just those years where neither team is necessarily doing exactly what they thought they would be. And that's what they're really playing for at the end of the year.
Right. And the South, I do think, is going to be very competitive again coming up in this season. You know, USC is rebuilding, Oregon rebuilding, Utah remaining similar. So, yeah.
DTR is coming back for UCLA as well. For some reason, I don't feel like he still has eligibility left, but apparently I'm wrong. So with throwing the COVID year, it throws a wrench in things.
not a Connor trying to call UCLA out on something. You have your
no. I don't want to play DTR anymore. Get him out of my conference, please. Like, yes, we got to win at UCLA, but I was very scared going into that game. So I'm ready for him to be gone. Go graduate. Go play in the NFL.
Yeah, it's for sure going to be a tough year too for the South. I mean, UCLA will have one of the most experienced quarterbacks at the helm now, so it'll be interesting. I'm excited though. It's good. Pac-12 is competitive. We already know how it goes. Unfortunately, that the rest of the world doesn't appreciate it, but it is what it is. Connor, thank you so much for joining us. Per usual, you guys can check out Connor on Locked On Sun Devils along with his great co-host Richie Bradshaw. They're giving you everything you need to know about the Sun Devils Monday through Friday. You can check them out on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You can follow along on Twitter at @LO_Sun Devils. Same thing with Pac-12 podcast. You can do @LO_Pac-12 on Twitter. Listen on Odyssey app and follow on YouTube. Like, comment, subscribe. Thank you so much for making Locked On Pac-12 podcast your first listen every day. Now make your second listen Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms, like all of our podcasts. Make sure you guys continue to stay locked on Pac-12 on the Locked On Network.